Go ahead and open your Bibles with me in the book of Romans chapter 1. We'll finish what we was kind of talking last week, and I was talking about incentive to pray, about prayer, and I got long-winded on the part. I didn't mean to get long-winded on, but just the Lord just, I guess, kind of stopped right there, and I just enjoyed it, so we just had a good time on it, amen. But Romans chapter 1, let's look at verse 16. This evening we'll read verse 16 and 17. Romans chapter 1, verse 16. He says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek." Then he goes, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." Let's pray. Father, we come to you tonight, Lord, as we look at your truths of the Word of God, Lord, and we help us to grab these basic truths and apply these things, your Word in our life, Lord God, and we know these verses. We're familiar with these verses, Lord, but help us to take them and really apply them and exercise, Lord, and grow. Help our faith to grow, Lord, and help us to see who you are and help us to be willing to go where you bid us to go, Father, without doubting, without wavering, Lord God, but really trusting and dependent upon you, Lord. Thank you for working our lives and helping us, Father. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, when I talk about faith of faith, or, you know, the righteousness of God revealed from faith of faith, it really is kind of exercising our faith I was talking about. We kind of apply it, and you see the righteousness of God revealed. You see the holiness of God, the power of God, the truthfulness of God. And you see how God reveals himself more and more. I mean, just to think about when you first got saved, I remember that, I mean, why would God want to really answer my prayers? I could ask God, but would he hear my prayer? I kind of looked at me, but the thing is, more I learned that it ain't me he's looking at. He's seen the righteousness of Christ because I'm in Christ. I'm him. He sees Christ. He sees his holiness, his righteousness, not mine. And it gives me that understanding as I grew, understanding that God is pleased with me because I'm in him. And I got all this power and all the blessings and the power of God. Let me think about the Holy Spirit of God lives within me. I have all power and ability given to me by God and to do wonderful things for him and be used of him. And so it's not me, but it's more the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith as I learn and see how God answers. Kind of look at it this way. Every time God answers your prayers, you see it's like, look, God did something. He kind of encouraged you and challenging you. He makes you want to go a step further, you know. And we see that a lot of times in faith promise where I've seen God provided. And I'll just kind of take that next step of faith and say, okay, this is what you want, God. And I'll take that step. He provided in the past. He's always took care of me. And he wants me to do this. I take that step, you know. But listen, it takes that step. Remember you went first time you went to college or the first job you took, the first interview. You was afraid and, you know, God provided and he took care of you and you made that step one step at a time. And so you see how God works in your life. A lot of times we come up with excuses of why we can't do it from time, busy, whatever. But, you know, he tells us, come, ask and you shall receive, seek and you shall find. And he really, you know, I guess it should be challenged that people say you can't do it and you look at the Word of God, it should challenge you to say, you know, I can do it and I'm going to do it. I mean, God said I can do it. It should be a challenge to you to do it. You know, God says I can do all things through Christ Jesus. Is that true? I mean, if that really is true, it should be a challenge to me. I can do it. Then there's no reason why I can't do it. There's no reason I'm really saying I can't. You know, I come up with this word, I can't, I'm not smart, I'm unable. And I really am. All I'm doing is saying that God is not able to do it, and I'm not really trusting him. And without faith, it's impossible to please him. So what I'm doing is I'm not pleasing my Father. I'm not being a blessing. I'm basically resisting what he's telling me I can do. Well, we see his promises, and he really demands us to, he tells us to fulfill his promise. We should, like I said earlier, we should expect it. I mean, I'm not trying to be braggadocious, as Trump would say, but here's the thing. If he told me I can do it, then I should be really boastful, not being boastful, but really trusting and say, you know, like God says, you call upon me, I should be saved. Shouldn't I be holding that and say, yes, I'm going to trust him? Or he says, he's going to prepare a place for me. Shouldn't I expect to have a mansion in glory with him? You know what I'm saying? He said, I'm coming back. I should expect him to come back and get me. I'm really holding those truths. And so those truths I'm holding on, then everything else he's telling me, I should apply those things. I mean, he says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. So then it doesn't matter how difficult times in life. And I think of my cousin, Miss Reba, she's going through difficult times. She feels alone. She don't know what to do. But she's not alone. I mean, she really isn't alone. She got the Lord with her, and he's going to take care of her. She can kind of lean upon him. We'll look at some verses on that. But the thing is this, she's not alone, and she can really claim that, "Lo, I'm with you always." He's there. No matter where you're at, no matter what circumstances you're at, God's there. He's going to help you. But we talked about, number one, incentive to pray, or the motivation kind of encourages us to pray. I said, number one, is that we can really trust him. We talked about last week. You know, in Philippians 4:19 says, "But my God shall supply what? All your need." So if there's a need, who's going to supply my need? God. So, I mean, why am I worried about getting my needs met? I mean, God is going to supply my need. I'm trusting him. I'm kind of relying on him. So it motivates me to say, if I can go to my God, there's a need, I can go to him. I can kind of expect he's going to provide for my need and take care of me, can't I? He said it, so I could. That same verse I could apply to Romans 10:13, can I not? I mean, I can use it 1 John 5:14. You have this confidence. We ask anything according to his will. He hears us. I mean, can I not take the same promises and kind of expect God to provide that? So I'm just saying that is there incentive that really motivates me to pray that, you know what, God's going to supply my need. He's going to take care of me. Is he not going to take care of Grace Baptist Church? So I can really depend on him and lean on him. Listen, we're trying to, we don't have a goal, or we don't really know. I bet you most of us don't even know what we support in missions. We have no idea. And we need to have an idea of goal. This is where we all collectively get. And that's where the idea of focus, and I'm trying to get onto the idea of getting these prayer cards. You should have got one of these in the mail. You haven't, you will get one. And, you know, it's a prayer commitment faith, and you get it, and you can kind of pray on it. And ain't this that I'm trying to get your money. I'm trying to get your heart to get a hold of God and say, God, what do you want me to do? And then we all collectively say, God, this is what I'll do. We all collect again. If it's $100,000 or is it $10,000 or $5, I don't know. But listen, we'll be collecting. And this is the decision, because our decision is going to based on the mission and what we can support. We're going to say, you know what, we got to cut you. We ain't going to support you. Or you know what? We're supporting a lot of guys, 25. We're going to raise you up. I mean, it's all collective, but we have a goal and say, this is what you want us to do, God. It's a church collective. We're going to trust in you. You're going to supply the need. And we're building a building fund. God cannot God supply. People, listen, they don't want to mix them up because, we don't want to burden your people. It is bad to burden your people to try to get your money because you can't afford it, can you? But I'm not asking your money. I'm asking to get a hold of God. Is God broke? Y'all think he's broke. Is God broke? No. But I don't have $200,000 to give that building. I don't have all that money, but I got so much faith and say, God, what do you want me to give? Do you know what I'm saying? And listen, how much bun is, doesn't matter. That's the idea, trying to get a hold of God. And, you know, he'll supply my need and take care of me. Well, then the thing is, in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8, it says this, that God is able. I'm trying to get off this point. I'm trying to review real quick and get on. It says, God is able to make grace abound towards you that ye always have in all sufficient in all things. So God is able to do it then, right? So he promised me. So again, I'm going back to the basic truths and saying God is, he'll supply. He's able to accomplish this. I don't have to, I should expect that. Just like I expect to get eternal life and I expect God to provide that for me. When I die, I close my eyes. I expect to see his face. I expect to live in glory. I expect to have a mansion. I expect to be with him forever and ever and ever. I really expect that because he's able to save me to the uttermost. I go soul winning because I expect him to do it. I expect he's able to say, I don't care how bad drugs you are, how bad the world you live, God is able to save you. And he'll take care of me. And so that, see, there's that incentive, the encouragement motivates you. Say, I can get a hold of my God. It ain't that my ability or your ability, it's my God. And listen, he saved me and I'm a part of his and I can get a hold of him. It should motivate us, encourage us to, you know what, there's a need God can provide. He's able. He really is. He really can change things in this world. And listen to this. If he's able to do it, Romans 8:32 says God spared not his own son, but he, what is it? God spared not his own son, but what does that say? I lost that verse. He spared not his own son, but will forgive. I don't lost it. We go back. Romans 8:32 says, he spared not his own son, but deliver him up for us all. How shall he not with him freely give us all things? Is he going to withhold things back from me that's good? That's what he said, right? But now, what about Job? Job lost 10 kids. Lost financial. Did God withhold goodness to him? Now, what me and you think is good, what God God tells us in Psalms 84 that he said there's no good thing withhold from them that walketh uprightly. Sometimes we go through trials and God lets us go through difficulties in life. He's not withholding anything good. He's giving it to you to help you to see the good. He's trying to work some things out. But the thing is, if he's not withholding anything good, if he's not going to withhold anything good, he's going to take care of me and he's able, he's supplied, can I not trust him? Can you not trust him? So it motivates you. Should really send us to really get a hold of God every day and say, God, I'm going to spend time with you because I can trust you. I can depend on you. That's where we kind of stop it. Number two is this. If we can trust him, cannot we rely on him? Cannot we rely on him? Turn me with Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. Very familiar verse. Nothing new. It says, again, it says, be careful for everything. It says, be careful for nothing. But don't be full of care, does it? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known unto God, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Listen, I can rely on him. I don't have to be full of care. I don't have to worry about everything. I don't have to really, what am I worried about? What should I worry about? What does that verse tell me to worry about? Should I worry about my job? Should I worry about that, you know, this church will get mad at me and kick me out? Should I worry about this, the church will close up? Should I worry about my wife or my kids? Or should I worry about my, you know, you worry about your jobs or your bills, your health? What should I worry about? Nothing. But, you know, you go home, we're full of worries. Are y'all with me on that one, or is that just me? Okay, what I'm saying is, it really, this is a promise of God. Listen, he said, don't worry. You know what Jack Howells did? Jack Howells, on Mondays from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, he gets everything, all his worries. He worries about everything, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. That's all he does. From 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, he worries. Rest of the week, he don't. 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. And what he does is this. He gets with the secretary and they write some things about they need to worry about. Write some lists. Well, they worry about this and that. And there's some things he writes by himself. What he needs to worry about. Worry about maybe it's his kid's situation or home family or personal needs that people he's dealing with and worry about this or how can he do this. He puts all these worries. Then he spends time in God and give it to God. And he's done. I thought that's kind of interesting. I mean, I need to start spending some time of worrying on Monday from 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock or, well, maybe do it from 9 o'clock to 5 o'clock because I got a lot of worries. But you know what the principle is? You get it down and give it to God. So now I gave it to you. Now you take care of it because I can't do it. You can't fix that arm. Now you can do all you possibly do, but you can't make it do. If they want to get rid of it, you can't stop it. Your arm's broken. You can't do it. I mean, my wife don't have to worry about it. I'm handsome. I'll always be handsome. Ask me. But you know what? I don't have to worry about my kids. I mean, I can teach them and train them. But what I'm saying is that God is watching them, and I don't have to worry about if they're going to get cancer. He died of cancer. I got cousins dying of brain cancer. I mean, I can sit and worry about, am I going to get it? But does it matter? Just give it to God. I'll get it or not get it. Does it matter? But listen, I carry my cares on him. And then, you know what? He put all these cares. And then in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, he says, cast all your cares upon him before he, what? He cares for you. Listen, I can rely on him because I don't have to worry about nothing. I just give it to him and I cast all my cares. But I love the part, for he careth for you. He cares for me. He loves me. He wants to be involved in my life. And he says, cast all your cares and your burdens. In Psalms 55, it comes from Psalms 55, verse 2. This is what it's, verse 22, it says this. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He says, he shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Listen, I can put all my burdens and cares. I don't have to worry about things. He's my strength. It doesn't matter. I'm not going to be crushed with the burdens. Yeah, you get burdens and trials on your life. It seems so heavy. And it's like you can't. It's not going to crush you. He's not going to give you temptation more than you're able to take care of. He's going to make it a way to escape. He's not going to let it crush you because he cares for you. He loved Job. And he said, devil, have you considered my servant Job?
I mean, listen, I haven't ever lost a child. Imagine losing 10. We always talk about the wife, how she cursed God and died. We would think bad about her. But can you not have a little bit of sympathy on her? She lost 10 kids. Her financially, no stability. Women, don't you like your husband to have stability in your homes? There's no stability. Where's the security? And her husband was a man that walked and everybody talked about him. He was at the gates and now he's a byword. They talk about him. He's sickness and all that. She had a bad day. But you know what? He cared for them. He didn't withhold nothing good on Job. It's a good God. It's how we look at it and how he looks at it. It's looking at perspective. You know, it's just the simple verses, but you meditate and think about what God's saying. I'm sinning every day and I get up and worry about something. I'm sinning, I don't know we can do that. Unless I'm talking about, I'm not sure if that's God's direction, God's will. But I'm talking about my ability. I used to say all the time, I would never preach. I can't do it. But I couldn't stop wanting to do it because it was just a fire in me. That's all I wanted to do. See, I was just saying God wasn't able to do it. But he said, well, I don't know, preacher. I've heard you preach, so I understand. But listen, look at Isaiah 40, verse 31. Isaiah 40, verse 31. Where's Isaiah? Isaiah 40, 31. We're familiar with that verse. Here it says this. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. I want to read it. We all are there together. Isaiah chapter 40, verse 31. It says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Very familiar verse. But the thought that came to me is that they that wait. Who is they? They that trust him. They that loved him. They were confident. They had expectation that he's going to supply. He is able. Listen, he will do what he says he's going to do. They're waiting. They're not sitting there doing nothing. They're like a waiter. They're busy about what God wants us to do. You know, we're waiting on God to provide the needs of the building. We got the sheetrock coming. Adam's coming. But we still got to be waiting for the certain things, but we still got to be busy of trying to save, put away, go soul winning, do what God wants us to do. We're just waiting for the Lord to come back, right? But we got to be busy. Because why? We trust him. We have confidence. We expect him to do. But it says that it waited upon him. So renew their strength. It's like a tree that's failed, is decayed, or is knocked down. Listen, he'll bring it back up. The just man shall fall how many times? He keeps renewing that man. Have you ever felt like you've been punched by the devil in the chest and all you can see is dust? Keep getting up. A failure stays down. But they that wait upon the Lord renew their strength. Think of Elijah, and I don't have a lot of time, but remember Elijah did a lot of good things. Remember he don't rain, and then he goes to the brook Cherith, and I think it was Cherith, I can't remember the name of the brook. Anyway, he went to brook, and then the ravens feed him. Powerful miracle. Then God takes him, then he sends him, dries up, sends him to a widow woman. She just had a little handful and a couple of sticks and a little bit of cruel oil, and they're going to die, you know, eat and die. And he does that, Luke 6:38, give to me first. And God, he's trusting God that this is, you do this and God's going to take care of us. And then she trusted the man of God that God says is going to do it. And they both trust in God, faith to faith. Then guess what? The oil didn't dry up. The meal didn't go away. Then the son gets sick and die. He raised the boy up. Then he goes, tell Ahab, guess what? It's going to rain. No, he said, bring all bring the 450 prophets of Baal, and plus Jezebel, 400 prophets that sits at her table, those 850 people. He said, we're going to bring a sacrifice and see what God is going to do, bring fire. Fire comes. He prays fire down. You see faith, the faith, the faith? I mean, he's got faith. It's powerful. I mean, I've never done anything like that. I've never brought fire from heaven. I mean, he's just walking with God. Then, I mean, he's got the power of God on his life. Kill those prophets, and they kill all of them. He told Ahab, hey, go, I hear thunder. It's going to rain. Ahab gets on his donkey, goes, and tells his old Jezebel, that old wicked woman says, I'm going to kill you. and he gets worried, don't he? And he wants to die. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we're serving, it gets tiresome. You get knocked down. God ain't really pushing me. He feeds him. He strengthens him. But I'm saying is that we go through it. But listen, God always gives you strength. And, but they that wait, he did not. God supplied his need. God was able and took care of him. God always takes care of you. Got his eyes off, didn't he? It's easy. But we, those that wait upon the Lord, we can rely on him. Listen, he sustains us. He upholds us. Listen, in Matthew 6:33, we're familiar with it. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. And I'm losing time. But, you know, if you go back, do me a favor. Go back and think about what he said. He says the same thing. He's talking about the birds and the grass and the wheat. And listen, they don't till. God supplies. Listen, God supplies their needs. God takes care of the needs. He's able to provide for them. Is he not able for you? But you seek ye first what? The kingdom of God. Seek him. You go to him and it's incentive. Come to me because I care for you and I'll supply your need. I'll take care of you. You can rely on me. Why are you relying on your abilities and your own wisdom? We got so much promises to rely on him. We really do. I think every one of us should be have a life of a powerful prayer by this morning. We don't have to know deep theology. You know, great men of God was never great deep theology. They just took the principle of the Word of God and used it. Just use the basic what you got. David fought a giant because he knew how to use a sword and the shields and all that. That's why he did it, right? What did David use? Just the basic stuff he knew how to use. The slaying. And God says, give me what you got. I'll help you accomplish that. Because I'll supply. I'm able. But you seek me first. You trust me. You can rely on me. He's always trustworthy. He's always good for us. Well, listen, the key thing is instead of prayer, we can rely on him. We can listen. We can trust him. Number three is this. We can receive power to please him. In 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 22. This is when, you know, children of Israel is basically gotten out of the will of God. They want a king, Samuel's dealing with them, and he gives them signs of thunder and rain, and, you know, they pray for Samuel to ask the Lord to stop it. They're fearful. But verse 22, he says, the Lord will not forsake his people for his great namesake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. It pleased the Lord to make you his. Remember that he careth for you? Cast all your care because he loves you, he cares for you. Then he says, moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord and ceasing to pray for you. But he says, but I will teach you the good and the right way. You know, listen, we need to be careful about failing to pray for each other. No, we got this prayer sheet. You know, if I fail to pray for you, am I sinning against God? If you fail to pray for me, are you sinning against God? If you fail to pray, listen, pray for your sin against God. Because you know what? Listen, we're obligated to care for it. Brother Hall says something, and I just thought this was kind of right off. He said, there's names about these people that somebody cares. Somebody's burning. You know, we need to pray for one another. He said, listen, he said, more for me is for God, for thee, I should sin against the Lord, that what? Ceasing to pray for you. Listen, to him knoweth to do good, and doing not to him is sin. You know, we need to pray for one another. That's why that prayer sheet is important. It is something valuable. Listen, you need to spend some time on it. I mean, just taking one section a week or whatever and think about it and pray for them, just like it was yours. And you say, I don't know what to say. Or there's an unspoken. Now, unspoken is hard to really pray for, isn't it? But listen, I'm saying is you get a hold of them and say, God, there's a need. This is what it is, and maybe help that need. Pray for the missionaries. I mean, listen, by name and be specific. But we need to pray. Listen, our faith does grow when we live by faith of faith. Listen, you know, when you take the Word of God and you put prayer together, there's power behind it, guys. There really is power. You know, what's more important than prayer? What really is more important in our life than prayer? TV? Our entertainment? Listen, you know, it's spending time along with God, but, you know, there's a need of others. Listen, God takes care of so much, and there's so much needs, and God, help me to be closer to you. Help me to see you. You know that faith to faith, and it reveals the righteousness of God, and I can see who God is and understanding more and more and more. I don't want to live a life of worrying about everything. I don't want it. I don't want to live a life of unbelief. I want to live a life of really faith that is pleasing to God. I may never achieve that, but I can try to achieve it one day at a time, get closer and closer. But God forbid that I fail to pray for you and say, you know what, I need to pray for Lee, but you know what, I'm just too tired. He's on his own today. How sad is that, isn't it? How sad is that people on the prayer list that salvation is so-and-so and say, you know, it needs to be saved. How about the Daly family? Who's that? I don't know, preacher, but I know I've been praying for them, or I have no idea. You know, we need to really say, God, help me to be, God, help me. God said, I'll give you the ability. You just got to make determination to do it. I got to start planning and go ahead and start praying. Listen, when I pray, John 14:13 says, whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Listen, think about it. We have the power to, we're releasing power that we can't even fathom what's happening. We can, listen, the power of God, we can move God. Listen, God can do great, mighty things. I mean, Elijah brought fire. Can that happen today? It can. Can God not give us the money? If we need all the money tomorrow, cannot God provide it? The problem is we think God's broke. I think God looks around and he says, my people think I'm broke. My people think I can't do it. My people think I'm unable. Because they act like that. But the thing is, he's not. How can he? He owns everything. He owns the air that I breathe. He owns the heart that he made. He can stop it. You can't touch me. Nobody can touch you unless God allows it. You're his. Because he cares for you. It's a good God. I mean, it really is incentive. You know what? I need to spend time with my God because I love him. He loves me. And I mean, I have access to the power of God. I can come to him boldly. Listen, I can come to God boldly. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that I might obtain what? Mercy. Listen, I can find grace in time of need of help. Listen, I can come with a confidence. I can come with expectation. I can go, listen, I can just put all this practice and really expect God to do these things. Now, I may not get what I want. I think Brother Bobby's prayed that tonight. He said, Lord, we may pray and we not get what we think is best. It may be right. But thank God he didn't give it to us. How many times you wanted something your mom and dad didn't want you to have because they were thinking, you're like, what a knothead. You don't need that. You know? Alexa, what's your name? Brooke keeps telling me, I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. I want this for Christmas. You really don't want that for Christmas. You really don't. You just want. I know what you know, because I'm the same way. I want this. I want, want. Then when something really default has come, that's what's good. God always gives us what we need. And what, not just, listen, I ain't saying that he does. He blesses us, folks, more than what we need. I mean, we are blessed. Miss Joyce was saying that. They remember got married and all that back then, 1832, when they first got married with Brother Day. Somewhere in that time period. What did you say? They didn't have air conditioning, but they used a cold, a towel wet, and put on them to keep them cold. You know what I'm talking about? That's pretty tough. Remember them days? Oh, yes, right. We don't understand that, do we? I remember not having air conditioning, but we were blessed. We had an attic fan. Amen. No attic, but see, I remember having the fan in the window, just feeling the cool breeze and listening to crickets. We're blessed. Some of y'all remember a preacher was screaming, hollering on Wednesday nights when it's hot. And you're seeing all this funeral bull, right? Somebody's going to die. We know where to go because they got that funeral name on, they know. We got to go. Listen, send it to pray. We can get a hold of God because why? He loves us. He cares for us. He supplies for everything. We can trust Him. We can rely on Him. Listen, don't fail to pray for one another. Just don't sin against God and don't sin against each other. Amen? Let's stand as all heads bowed, eyes closed.